Good morning, Georgia Baptists. It is truly good to be with you today. And if you have not already opened up your copy of God's Word to the Gospel of John, chapter 15, let me invite you to go there with me. And that will be our text today. And as you're finding your place, allow me to begin by just saying thank you, because I owe each of you a great deal of gratitude. As was mentioned already, I grew up here in this great state of Georgia. I was raised in a small town right here in central Georgia called Thomaston, and I grew up at a small Southern Baptist church there and learned the importance of cooperating together with Georgia Baptists. I was saved and gave my life to the Lord and was called to ministry just up the road in Macon, at the Macon Centroplex, at what was then called Youth Evangelism Conference. It's now called MOVE Conference, and that event was funded in part by the generous contributions of you to the cooperative program through our state. I have been helped in my ministry through the resources of our Georgia Baptist Convention and Georgia Baptist Mission Board, and I was educated at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary, in part, again, once again, by your generous gifts to our cooperative program. And so I say all that to say thank you, because I am here because of you. You were looking this morning at the result of over 32 years of generous cooperation and giving as Georgia Baptists. Now, at this point, you may be looking at me and saying, well, we sure didn't get our money's worth out of that deal. I will leave that up to you to decide, but I am certainly grateful this morning to be able to be here and to deliver this doctrinal message. And I can't help but think there are so many more men in this room who are more qualified and maybe who deserve this honor more than I do. But at the same time, I'm thankful to be able to deliver God's word to you. And I'm thankful this morning that you aren't dependent on me to give you doctrine today. You aren't dependent upon me to give you a word. In this holy moment, we have a holy God who speaks to us from his holy word. And so today, let's take a look at his word together. You know, I'll tell you the hardest part about preaching the doctrinal sermon here at the Georgia Baptist Convention is how long you have to prepare. Excuse me, I was told over a year and a half ago that I would be nominated for this honor. And if you want a really frustrated preacher, tell him to prepare a sermon that he can't preach for a year and a half. And normally when I have 6 days to prepare a message, I preach about 30 minutes. So I will let you do the math and figure out what a year and a half of preparation looks like. So don't look at your watches this morning. Today I want to speak on a doctrine that is not overly academic, it is not overly technical, but it is incredibly and significantly important. Today I'd like to speak on the doctrine of dependency. And it is a doctrine that I'm afraid that I sometimes fail to remember, and I'm afraid that sometimes we as a convention do as well. In John 15, I'm not going to read the whole text to you again that Brother Robert read earlier, but I want to call your attention once again to verse 5. Would you follow along with me as we look at verse 5 once again? Jesus speaks here, and he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Father, thank you for your word. God, your word is good. It is true. And it is life-giving and life-changing. Father, this morning, we desperately need to hear from you. And so, Father, speak to us from your word. Change our hearts. Draw us closer to yourself. And God, lead us to obedience. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. About 1 month ago, my little town of Pelham, down in southwest Georgia, was hit very hard by Hurricane Michael. If any of you here today are in that part of the state, you know what I mean. I have never experienced anything like it in my life. Trees, power lines down, littered the ground like pine straw. If you've ever seen a path where a tornado has come through and seen the damage, just expand that by about 60 miles. And that's what southwest Georgia looks like. So we were there in my home, me and my family, my 4 kids, and as the storm went by, and of course, you know, when something of that magnitude happens, you lose power. We lost all sorts of connectivity. We lost our phone lines, we lost our power lines, our cell towers went down. We went back to the Stone Age as far as communication went. It was incredibly, incredibly difficult. So naturally, when you know that you're going to be without power for a little while, everybody started going out and bought generators. Generators were the hottest commodity on the market. If you could find a generator, you were in luck. And so people went and bought generators. And our town sounded like one giant lawnmower with all these generators going on. And You know, it's interesting because people would go and they would spend $700 on a generator and hundreds of dollars on gas, but by golly, we were going to save that $50 worth of deer meat and frozen vegetables in our freezers. We were going to get it. We were going to get it done. But you know, as I was there at home amidst the sound of the generators, as I was losing my hearing and probably suffering from carbon monoxide poisoning, I had a revelation. I realized something very simple. When you lose your connectivity, you lose your power. When you lose your connection to the power source, you lose your power. I'm afraid that we as Georgia Baptists have lost our connection. And I'm afraid because of that, we are losing our power. It's no secret if you take a look at our statistics, it's been talked about the last couple of days here at this meeting. Baptisms are down, CP giving is down, attendance is down, and I would argue holiness is down. And you say, why? What's the source of the problem? I would point us to this text. We have lost our connection to the vine. We have stopped abiding in Christ. And so today, very simply and very quickly, I want to walk you through these first five verses in John 15, and I want us to be reminded, as Georgia Baptists, of how you and I can truly be fruitful, how we as a convention can be fruitful, how our churches can be fruitful, and how we as individual believers can be fruitful. I would like to just show you very quickly five things this morning about how we can bear fruit as Georgia Baptists. Number one, we will not bear fruit by association. We will not bear fruit by association. If you take a look at this text, Jesus is, of course, speaking to a Jewish audience. Everybody that was listening to him give this message hinged their life, they hinged their eternal destiny on their relation to one man. His name was Abraham. They believed that because they were children of Abraham, that they were a part of this covenant relationship and that they were good to go. They were connected to God. They were connected to Israel, which they believed was the vine. But Jesus had a different message for them. Look at what he says in verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. I would argue that the most important word in this first verse is the short little word, true. True. The Greek word for this is the word alethene. And here's what it means. I'll read this to you. The word means that which has not only the name and semblance, but the real nature corresponding to the name. So hear me. What Jesus is saying is, I'm not just a vine in name. I am the real deal, the 100% genuine, true vine. There is no other. Jesus is telling us he's not just another vine. He's telling us that he is the only vine, and that if we want to have a connection to the Father, we have to go through him. It's not a relationship to Abraham that would get the Jews a relationship with God. It was only a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, what does this mean for us as Georgia Baptists? I would bet that there's probably not very many people in this room today who are hinging their eternal destiny on their relationship to Abraham. We sang the song growing up, Father Abraham had many sons, and I am one of them, and so are you. Let's all praise the Lord, right arm, left arm, you know the drill, right? But we're not hanging our eternal destiny on that. I would be afraid more so not that we're basing our relationship to God on our relationship to Abraham as much as we are basing our fruitfulness and our power and our effectiveness as Baptists. I'm afraid that we have put so much stock in our name as Georgia Baptists that we have forgotten that Georgia Baptists aren't the true vine. Jesus alone is the true vine. Since 1852, our convention has done some incredible things. I am so thankful. I mentioned earlier, I'm thankful to be a part of the Georgia Baptist Convention. I'm thankful for the ministry that we have been able to produce. But can I just remind you of something very important? The Georgia Baptist Mission Board will not be fruitful just because we're the Georgia Baptist Mission Board. Our name used to carry more weight than it does now, but even if we were to carry all the weight in the world, our name as Georgia Baptist would never equal the name that is above all names, the name of Jesus Christ. His name alone is life-changing, his name alone is life-giving, and our name will not do any of the above. So church family, we will not bear fruit by association. Just because your name is on an attendance sheet or your name is on a roll in the Georgia Baptist Mission Board files does not mean that you and I will be fruitful. We will only be fruitful as we abide in the true vine of Jesus Christ. The Georgia Baptist Mission Board is a collection of branches, and if we aren't plugged into the vine, we will not bear fruit. So number one, we will not bear fruit by association. But secondly, we see in this next verse, in verse 2, that we will not bear fruit by apathy. Verse 2, Jesus said, "Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." Let me take you back with me to the seventh grade. That wonderful time in life, wasn't it, seventh grade? When I was in the seventh grade at Upson Lee Middle School, I took an elective class in horticulture. Now you may say, well, Brother Matt, why did you take a horticulture class? Were you into flowers? No, I was not into flowers, but I was into girls, and girls are into flowers. So, therefore, hey, listen, I may be from South Georgia, but I is smart, okay? So I understood how this thing works. So I was in a horticulture class. Now, my teacher's name in my seventh grade horticulture class, her name was Miss Brown, which I found to be quite ironic, considering she was teaching a class on how to grow plants, Miss Brown. Nevertheless, in Miss Brown's horticulture class, I sat there and I learned for the first time in my life that a plant, you could cut it back in order to make it more fruitful. The process was called pruning. But you know, Miss Brown didn't invent the process of pruning. Long before she ever stood in my seventh grade horticulture class, Jesus teaches us the principle of pruning in this text. He tells us two statements. Number one, he says, "Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away." And then secondly, "Every branch that does bear fruit will be pruned so that it will bear more fruit." So what is the goal, church family? What is the goal of every branch according to Jesus? What is it? To bear fruit. His desire is for us to bear fruit, to produce disciples, to become more like Christ. He wants us to bear fruit. And he tells us, if we want to bear fruit, we have to go through the process of pruning. Now, what does this mean for us as Georgia Baptists? I would give you two applications. Number one, if we do not bear fruit, what does Jesus say? He will take us away. Very clearly. In my opinion, the church better get very serious about our condition right now. We are not reaching people. We are not baptizing people. We are not making disciples. And I'm not a Debbie Downer. I'm not a pessimist. I'm just a realist. That's the reality. That's the fact. And so what do? Well, Jesus tells us very plainly, if you and I do not produce fruit, if we are not bearing fruit, what does he say? We will be what? Taken away. Can I just remind you of something very, very important that I think we miss? I come to these meetings every year. I look forward to it. I love fellowshipping with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love the worship. I love the textual reminders from Scripture. I love the ability we have to be reminded of our call in Christ. But can I just remind you of something, Georgia Baptists? God does not need the Georgia Baptist Mission Board to bring about his kingdom. For over 1,800 years, he did pretty well before we came along, didn't he? The kingdom is expanded to the entire world, and if the Lord tarries and our convention fizzles out, he will find a way to reach people with the gospel of Christ as faithful believers do what he has called them to do. He does not need us. You remember what Brother Rick shared yesterday from Revelation 2, Jesus' message to the church at Ephesus? Verse 5, he said, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and I will remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." If you were here last night, you saw where Brother Mike literally preached the lights out here at the Georgia Baptist Convention. But you know what? I do not want to be a part of the generation that sees the light of the Georgia Baptist Mission Board removed. But that's a possibility. It's a very real possibility if we do not remain connected to the vine of Jesus Christ. So he tells us first, if we don't bear fruit at all, he will remove us, he will take us away. But secondly, if we have been bearing fruit, what does he say? That you will be pruned so that you can bear more fruit. So we can't just be apathetic about our situation and just not do anything at all, but we also can't be complacent and comfortable with our past success. You know, I have a grapevine in my backyard, and it's pretty lengthy. And so about this time of year, as the leaves go off of it, and about in January or so, I go out there with my little pruning shears, and I start cutting vines back. You know why? Because just because I had a good crop of grapes last year doesn't mean that I'm going to have a good crop this year. I've got to take care of the vine. I've got to prune away the dead stuff. I've got to make sure that I take care of it so it can be even more fruitful. And Jesus tells us as believers that if we have been producing fruit, he will prune us so that we can be even more fruitful. But you know what the danger is for us? What do? We look at last year's stats, and we look at our annual church profile from the year before, and we say, we baptized 10 people, praise the Lord. And yes, praise the Lord. But you know what? That was last year. And if you and I don't do anything this year, guess what will happen? We will not baptize anybody. Church family, we cannot hang our hat on past successes and expect present results. Jesus tells us not to be complacent. He tells us not to be comfortable. He tells us not to be satisfied with what's already been done. Yes, we should celebrate heritage. Yes, we should celebrate history. But we live in the moment now, and Jesus calls us to be obedient now. And sometimes that means we have to be pruned. And you say, well, Brother Matt, pruning hurts. Yes, it does. Pruning may mean that you have to cut back on some of your priorities. It may mean that you have to cut back on some of your comforts. It may mean you have to cut back on your resources. I don't know what area Jesus may choose to prune in your life or in your church, but I promise you this, if you and I want to be fruitful, we have to be willing to allow Jesus Christ to prune away those things that hinder us from being more fruitful. So, we won't be fruitful by association. We won't be fruitful by apathy. But number three, we will not bear fruit by arguing. Let me say this again. We will not bear fruit by arguing. Verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. I mentioned earlier, I have 4 kids. It is my goal in life to keep up with Brother Jim Perdue, our host pastor. He has 6. I only have 4. I'm catching up. 4 kids. They're all young. 6, 4, 3, and a 2-month-old who's sitting over here. She's been very sweet, by the way, at this convention. So every night, as a family, we attempt to do the impossible. Brother Mike, you have 4 kids. We attempt to do the impossible. We attempt to bathe our 4 children in a semi-satisfactory manner. If you've ever had multiple young children, you know how difficult of a thing this can be. Bath time seems to resemble more of an attraction at Whitewater than it does bath time. There is so much water on the walls and on the floor, we have the number of ServPro in our speed dial. We are ready to go at bath time. But no matter how difficult it may be, we manage most nights to get our kids at least semi-satisfactorily clean. And you know what's interesting about this is after we bathe them, after they get out of the tub, they don't have to jump back in the tub. They don't have to have a discussion about proper hygienic methods. They have already been what? Made clean. Now listen to what Jesus says. He tells his disciples that they are already clean. Already clean. Why? Because of the word that I spoke to you, he says. He says, if you trust in me, if you connect to the vine, you are made clean. You were made clean because you believed in the gospel. You were made clean by the word that I have spoke to you and by the word that you believe. By faith, you have been made clean because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, Georgia Baptist, can I just ask you a question? If the gospel alone makes us clean, if the word of Jesus, the life-changing power of the gospel, if that's what makes us clean, why do we spend so much time jumping back in the bathtub? Why do we spend so much time quibbling about the details? Why do we have all these differences, doctrinal differences, ecclesiological differences? Why do we allow these things to become our focus when Jesus has already made us clean by the gospel? When he tells his disciples that he's already made them clean, they didn't have to go back and check off any religious boxes. They didn't have to go wash 7 times in the Jordan River. They didn't have to exegete the scroll of Habakkuk properly. They just simply had to believe the word of Christ. Georgia Baptists, we find more things to argue about than we find in common, don't we? We argue about Calvinism. We argue about the church's role in politics. We argue about church polity and structure and leadership and who's going to be this position and who's going to be on that committee. And we find a lot of things to quibble and disagree about. But Jesus says that we are what? We are already clean. We're already clean. The main thing is the main thing. And he says, believe in the main thing. That's what saves you. That's what changes you. And you say, well, Brother Matt, doctrine's important, right? Yes, doctrine is important. Doctrine is incredibly important. We as Baptists have based our identity on sound biblical doctrine. We are people of the book. That is our heritage. And may we continue to be people who believe and trust and faithfully expound God's word to a lost and dying world. May we continue to believe that doctrine is important. But listen, theology, yes, we need to have accuracy in our theology. Yes, we need to be aware of our theology. But I'm afraid we have moved from a position of theological accuracy and theological awareness to a position of theological arrogance. We look around us, and if somebody disagrees with us theologically, we consider them to be more than just incorrect. We consider them to be enemies rather than partners in the gospel. Church family, we can disagree on eschatology. We can disagree on ecclesiology. We can disagree on missiology. We can even disagree on elements of soteriology and still agree in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what makes us clean. There are so many people, they want to have the corner on doctrine. But you know what? You can be doctrinally correct and you can be spiritually cold. You can be right without being righteous. You say, Brother Matt, you know, that's taking the simpleton's way out. Doctrine's important. We need to be sure of what we believe, and we need to examine all these deep theological truths, and I understand that. But I always go back to a quote, one of my favorite quotes from A.W. Tozer in his classic, The Pursuit of God. Listen to what he said. God will not hold us responsible to understand the mysteries of election, predestination, and the divine sovereignty. Prying into them may make great theologians, but it will never make saints. Church family, when I stand before the Lord, I am not so much worried about whether he's going to say I was a great theologian, but I certainly want to be a saint. We will not bear fruit by arguing. We are already made clean by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Very quickly, number four. We will not bear fruit by activity. We will not bear fruit by activity. Verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus highlights something very critical here, and you don't have to be a botanist to understand it. A branch cannot in and of itself bear fruit. Branches are passive. Again, I mentioned to you, I have a grapevine in my backyard. And if I go and I cut off one of those little tendrils off the main vine, guess what's going to happen? It's going to shrivel up and it's going to die. I can take it and I can dress it up. I can put lipstick on it. I can put fertilizer on it. I can do all kinds of things. I can stick it in a cup of water. But unless it remains connected to the vine, it will die. The moment you remove a branch from the vine, it's not a fruitful one. It's a dying one. Now listen to me, Georgia Baptists. You and I have mastered the art of busyness. But can I remind you of something? Busyness does not equate to fruitfulness. There's a difference. Yes, sometimes a fruitful person is a busy person, but a busy person is not always a fruitful person. Jesus says, unless we abide in him, we will not be fruitful. Let me just give you some examples here. It's, you know, in our church culture today, you know, what's the big word, the buzzword is millennials, right? How do we attract millennials? How do we reach millennials? How do we retain millennials? How do we get millennials involved in leadership? How do we engage this next generation? And I understand all that. Listen, can I tell you something? I'm a millennial, okay? I'm part of that generation. And I need to remind you of something today. As a millennial, we do not need you to target us. We need you to target Jesus. And if you target Jesus, the fruit will come. But it's not just millennials. It's church growth in general. I can't tell you how many brochures and emails that I get. Oh, here's the next great method. If you do this, you'll grow your church by 100%. Programs and strategies and all these things about how to reach people and grow. Can I tell you what again? The target is not church growth. The target is Jesus. And if we target him, the growth will come. The main thing is Jesus. The main one is Jesus. He is the one who brings the growth. You know, we focus on so many things. Church growth, bigger budgets, popularity, all these other things, but none of these things, even reaching our community, is not the target. All of these things are the fruit. If you and I connect to Jesus, he tells us that's how we are fruitful. Apart from him, what does he say? We can do nothing. We don't need more popularity. We don't need better programs. We need to be plugged in to Jesus. And that's how we bear fruit. I'm reminded of something that E.M. Bounds said in his famous classic, The Power of Prayer. He said, "The church is looking for better methods, but God is looking for better men. What the church needs today is not more or better machinery, not new organizations or more novel methods. She needs men whom the Holy Spirit can use, men of prayer. The Holy Spirit does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but on men. He does not anoint plans, but men, men of prayer." Brothers and sisters, we do not need more busyness. We need more brokenness. We need to realize that we cannot, in and of ourselves, do anything of lasting value. No matter how busy we are, no matter what new innovative method we come up with, it will not bear fruit apart from Christ. We will not bear fruit by activity. Which leads to my final point. We will not bear fruit by our association as Baptists. We will not bear fruit by apathy, sitting in our corner and doing what we've always done. We will not bear fruit by arguing with one another about proper ways of exegeting Scripture or doing ministry, and we will not produce fruit by activity. We will only, number five, we will only bear fruit by abiding in Christ. Verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." He says, if we're a branch that abides in him, what will happen is we will produce fruit. But if we are not abiding in him, we will not produce fruit. Notice that he does not say that if you do not abide in me, you can do a little bit. He does not say that you will produce some fruit. He says, if you do not remain in me, if you are apart from me, you can do what, brothers and sisters? Nothing. You can do nothing, no thing, nothing of lasting value. And you say, why? Well, he tells us why. He tells us that when we abide in him, he abides in us. Church, remember that amazing truth that the Spirit of Jesus Christ abides in you as you abide in him. His power is life-changing. His power is effective. He is able to do far greater than we could ever think or imagine. That's the power we have in Christ. And if we want to bear fruit, we better be plugged into that vine. That's how we bear fruit. You know, I told you this message has been churning in my heart for over a year and a half, and that's the truth. But a few months ago, I went from knowing these things philosophically to learning them practically. I went through a time, I was connected in the right places, I was concerned about the right things, I was busy in ministry. You ever been there, Pastor? I was busy, so busy. But you know what happened? In the midst of my busyness, in the midst of my activity, you know what I did? I would never say this, but I convinced myself of it inherently. I'm afraid that I convinced myself somewhere along the way in my personal paradigm of ministry that God needed me. You ever been there? He needed me on that committee. He needed me to make that visit. He needed me to be a part of that meeting. He needed me to run that ministry. He needed me. Somewhere along the way, I convinced myself that apart from me, God could do nothing. How arrogant. How arrogant. And you know where it got me? It didn't give me fruitfulness. I ended up on an examination table in a doctor's office. My doctor is a good friend of mine. He's a deacon in my church. And I sat there and I was stressed out. I was anxious, couldn't sleep, and I was having all kinds of other physical side effects from this. You know why? Because I was doing it myself. I wasn't being fruitful, church. I was being foolish. I was being foolish. Could it be possible that we, as Georgia Baptists, have convinced ourselves of that same fallacy? That apart from us, God can do nothing? Is that why we have decline in baptism and a decline in missions and a decline in all these other important categories? Because we've made it all about us. What does Jesus say? I am the vine. You are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But you know, there's a danger here. And I'll close with this. A message like this is one after which it's very easy to amen, but it can be very difficult to apply. We can sit here in these pews, I can sit here behind this pulpit and preach this message, and we can all be fired up about abiding in Christ, and then we can go back to doing our thing and not change one bit. So brothers and sisters, can I just ask you very simply this morning, who or whom or what are you abiding in today? Not who are you associated with, not what are you doing, not what's your theological position, but whom or what are you abiding in? And if it is anything or anyone other than Jesus Christ, you will not bear fruit. Our Georgia Baptist Mission Board will not bear fruit unless its churches abide in Christ. And our churches will not bear fruit unless the members abide in Christ. And our members will not abide in Christ unless we abide in Christ. So may our legacy not be that we were busy. May it not be that we were right. May it be that we were connected to Jesus Christ. And may He live in us and move through us and work in us for His glory and His glory alone. And praise be to God. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you for your word. Father, forgive me. Forgive me for arrogance and pride and self-sufficiency. Forgive us, Father, for depending on ourselves and not upon you. You are the true vine, not us, not our convention, you. So, Father, would you help us to remain in you, to abide in you, to dwell in you. God, to do everything we do based on the power of your Spirit. And God, as you live in us and move through us, I pray, Lord, that you would do great and mighty things for your glory. So that when people look, they don't say, look at what's happening in the Georgia Baptist Mission Board, but they would say, God, you are doing the work so that you get the glory. And Father, we love you and we thank you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.